But there are people who like sports and they don't follow a team. They follow a person. And they will follow that person regardless of what team he plays for. So if I were to ask you who's the best known currently playing NBA basketball player, now I'm saying your favorite, but the best known right now NBA ball player, I think most people would say LeBron James. I don't think there'd be any debate on that. And there are people that follow LeBron James. And he has played for a different team. So some of you guys help me out. Who is LeBron? You know someone's good when you don't need a last name, right? There are certain people you call Michael or LeBron, and there's no last name given, none needed. What team did LeBron play for? Cavs, but then who?
Miami.
And then who? Then Cleveland. Yeah, Jeff's back there. See, Jeff? Jeff's the man on sports trivia. And then who, Jeff?
The Lakers.
Now the Lakers, sure. And there are people who will follow a person from team to team because they identify with that person. They would consider themselves a... You'll see them, they'll have a jersey and they'll have a person's name. You'll see grown men, like old guys like me, wearing... I don't have one, but you'll see a jersey that'll actually have somebody's name on it. And they identify with that person. They're a follower of that person. You say, does that happen theologically? You know, this is the best illustration I could come up with, and some others have used this illustration in the same way. Sometimes if you talk about theological positions, people will talk about those who are Calvinists or Arminians. And a Calvinist would be a certain person who would identify with the teachings of John Calvin. And he was very well known in the 1600s, different than a gentleman named Jacob Arminius. He was a Dutch theologian that came to different conclusions than the French Calvin. And so some people today, if you ask them, like theologically, who are you? They'll say, I'm an Arminian or I'm a Calvinist. And they're identifying with people and what those people taught. And so I use a sports illustration maybe to get us going, something of a theological illustration to get us going into this idea that in the first century, it was common to follow specific teachers. And another name for teacher was rabbi. You say, what does rabbi mean? Rabbi basically means teacher. And it actually, if you want to be specific, some people will say it's more than just teacher. It means my teacher. And yet if a person is well known as a rabbi, people who don't follow him will still call him rabbi. Okay? So how do we know that the word rabbi actually means teacher? Because the Bible tells us that. Okay, so for example, John chapter 1, verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? So these two people that are following Jesus, these are not disciples of Jesus. These are disciples of John. And Jesus turns around and says, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi. They weren't followers of Jesus. Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? Notice it's right in the Bible. Rabbi, which translated means teacher. John chapter 1, verse 38. Or a second example has to do at the very end of Jesus' earthly life, where here's Mary looking for the resurrected Christ. The tomb is empty. And jumping into John chapter 20, verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, remember she thought he was a gardener. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni. And you say, why is the end of that a little bit different? Well, rather than my teacher, that would simply mean our teacher. But here's the key I want to focus on, which means teacher. That's actually in the Bible. So we have in our scripture, we've seen it twice at least, in John chapter 1, in John chapter 20, that the word rabbi means teacher. Or if you want to be more particular, it means my teacher. Okay? Number two, it was common for disciples to refer to their teacher as rabbi. And when you see the word rabbi in the New Testament, you're generally having people address Jesus as rabbi just about every time, but not every time. So, for example, John 3:26, and they, now I probably should have used brackets rather than quotes. The phrase John's disciples is not actually in the text. They refers to John's disciples, and you could see that from the previous verses, okay? So just so if that's confusing, John 3:26 says, and they came to John, not to Jesus. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, they're talking to John the Baptist. And what are they calling him? Rabbi. They were followers of John the Baptist. And they say, Rabbi, who is with you beyond the Jordan to whom you have testified? Behold, he's baptizing and all are coming to him. Now, the point I simply want to make is it would not be considered odd for followers of a person, including John's followers, to call John Rabbi. So disciples refer to their teacher as Rabbi. And again, very clear in the Bible. Thus, we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus' disciples regularly refer to him as rabbi. And there's many, many illustrations of this. I just grabbed a couple. For example, on Mark chapter 9, verse 5, the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. And the best I know, there's nothing really unique or special about the usage of that term in that context. It's simply Peter saying to Jesus, Rabbi. That's what they called them. It was a title, yet in a sense, a name. So Mark 9:5 shows that. Or how about just a second example? You know the account of the woman at the well. John chapter 4 records that. In verse 31, the text says the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. You say, why were they calling Jesus rabbi? It's what they called him, okay? Now, what happens over time is so many people hear Jesus' followers calling him rabbi that it becomes basically a name. And even people who don't follow Jesus call him rabbi. I have just one example of that. John chapter 6, verse 25. Now, again, we're not going into the context, but what happens is Jesus and his disciples get in a boat and they go over the Sea of Galilee. And then what happens, the crowd catches up with them and the crowd knows, actually, Jesus' disciples were in the boat. The crowd goes on the other side and finds Jesus there and they say, Rabbi, when did you get here? And the interesting thing about John 6:25 is these are people that are interested in Jesus, but they're not his disciples. They're so used to him being called rabbi that they use the same name. Rabbi, when did you get here? So rabbi, what does it mean? Teacher. Disciples would refer to their teacher as rabbi. Thus, Jesus' disciples regularly refer to him as rabbi. Is that appropriate? And the answer is absolutely yes, which is our fourth point tonight. Jesus verified that, yes, he was their rabbi. Or if you prefer the other term, he was their teacher. John 13:13-14. Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. And if it's important, there's a definite article before both of those titles. We could translate this, you call me the teacher and the Lord. And you're right. For so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. What is Jesus saying? I am your teacher and, of course, your Lord. It's appropriate for them to call him teacher, for them to call him rabbi. And thus, Jesus refers to himself as teacher. Matthew 26, verse 18, they're getting ready for that Last Supper. And he said, Jesus speaking, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says. So Jesus wants them to go and get a place ready for the Passover meal. And Jesus, referring to himself, says, go tell the person, the teacher. That's me, the rabbi. The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. I'm simply making the point that it was proper. Jesus verified that he was their teacher. He was their rabbi. So Jesus' followers considered him teacher, the teacher, or if you prefer, rabbi, the rabbi. They were followers of him. And it's not like we think of the word teacher so much today, right? I'm a professor. This morning I taught a class, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe 80 students in a lecture hall. That's, you know, not anything unusual. It's what I do. And those students don't really hang out with me. They don't follow me home, okay? My wife would not like that, right? I go into a class, I talk to them, I try to help them best I can. Sometimes they come by, see me in the office, whatever, we email, etc. This is different. These are people that identify Jesus as their rabbi, as their teacher, some type of special relationship, which takes us to number five. Jesus' disciples should humbly exalt him as their teacher. So for those who identify with Jesus and refer to him as their rabbi, their teacher, the emphasis would be on humbly exalting him. Notice what it says in Matthew 23. They refers to scribes and Pharisees. I put it in brackets. They loved the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. So Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and this is a very negative context. He's talking about them being proud. They loved being called rabbi by men. Next verse, verse 8. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. See, this was different than what happened in first century Judaism. Back in that day, what would happen is you would basically follow a rabbi, a teacher. I'll just use Ward. He's in the front up here. I might become a student or a disciple of Rabbi Ward. And I would hang out with him and he would disciple me. And then once I grew, I would go out and make my own disciples of me. Not of Ward, but of me. And I would get my own school going, if I could say it that way. Jesus said, don't do that. Do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Next verse. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leader, for one is your leader. That is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. This is very different than how the Jews normally did it. Jesus is saying, I'm your rabbi. You call me rabbi. That's a good thing. So go out and make disciples, but not of yourself, of me. And that's what Christians are supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be lifting up men. We're not supposed to be having people who follow Ward or me or whoever, you know, a person is. As a leader in a church or a Christian movement or whatever. We are supposed to be, as followers of Christ, encouraging others to become followers of Christ. For all of us, we would say Christ is our teacher. Christ is our rabbi. Which takes us to our final point tonight, number six. Jesus' disciples are to become like their teacher and prepare to be treated as their teacher. So what we as followers of Jesus, Jesus our rabbi, Jesus our teacher, we should be following Jesus and encouraging others to follow Jesus while we become more like Jesus. See, that's the key. Back in the first century time, disciples always became like their teachers. We are supposed to become more like Jesus, right? What does it say in Luke 6:40? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he's been fully trained will be like his teacher. Who is our teacher? Jesus. Who is our rabbi? Jesus. Who is our heavenly Father? Yahweh, God the Father. Who are we following? Christ. Who are we inviting other people to follow? Jesus. And thus he would be for all of us our rabbi, our teacher. And you notice that was a two-part point I had there for number six. And we should expect to be treated like him. Matthew 10:24-5. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. Now, that's very similar to the previous text, but notice it keeps going. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? And then the text continues to talk about persecution. So if we are followers of Jesus, if Jesus is our rabbi, if Jesus is our teacher, we not only should be becoming more like Jesus, we should expect to be treated like Jesus. Which means if we are persecuted for our faith, if we are treated unkindly for what we believe, no surprise. Why would that be anything we wouldn't expect? I mean, they crucified Jesus, and we're supposed to be his followers. We would expect it. I'm not saying we are excited about it, but it shouldn't be surprising in the least, because a disciple is not above his teacher. We should be like our rabbi. Jesus' disciples are to become like their teacher and prepared to be treated as their teacher. So when someone comes up to you and says, you know, like, who are you? What do you do? Like, you know, what's going on in your world? And sometimes we say, well, you know, we do the vocational thing. I'm a teacher, or, you know, whatever the case might be. I'm a woodworker. Sometimes we say I'm a parent, you know, a grandparent, or, you know, sometimes we use other terms, hobbies to define us. You know, I'm a big sports fan, or I'm a follower of this team. I just wonder if we ever would say, I'm actually a follower of Jesus. I mean, that's who I am. I was talking to a guy. I did a shout out to him on the live stream. I don't know if he watched or not, but I was sharing the gospel on an airplane this past weekend with the gentleman and just had a very wonderful time. It was very just an enjoyable thing to do. And he was, you know, talking about himself, which is great. And I just asked people lots of questions about themselves. And then most of the time, not always, they finally say, oh, yeah, how about you? Like, what do you do? And then, you know, I have an opportunity to say I'm actually a pastor of a church. And he was interested in that. What kind of church? Trinity Bible Church. Well, what kind of church is that? I mean, like, is it Baptist? Is it like, you don't have any word in there. Like, what is that church? What do you guys actually believe? And I said, we believe that everybody should follow Jesus. And we take the Bible, we open the Bible, we teach the Bible, we preach the Bible. We invite people to become followers of Jesus. And he said, that's interesting. And he was interested, and that took us further on. And we had good conversation. To me, it doesn't seem like that's real common, but I think it should be. Like, you know, who are you? I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what I do. I follow Jesus, not as well as I should. I'm trying to become more like him. I'm praying that he will change me more. That's the goal. But that's who I am. He's my rabbi. He's my teacher. Would be very biblical thinking to consider Jesus, your rabbi, our Rabboni. A title, but often used as a name. And I hope the Lord will use that to encourage us this evening. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful. We are grateful that we can be disciples of Jesus. Not following one another, but following Jesus together. And we pray that you would help us to do that and to help us to encourage one another to do that, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.